What are we doing?
I don't know, mate.
That kid is
superstar
fire.
In the making.
Like, the play's already gone, just please.
Just put your flag up.
Yeah, but what are you, mate?
I mean, I am a wanker.
You're listening to the Circling Rectangle Show, Australia's finest A-Leagues podcast.
It's probably the darkest day in Australian football over the weekend, Jamie. I'd like, less than 2 weeks after our best ever World Cup run, how the Socceroos united the entire footballing fan base in Australia, and our league is on the verge of death because of some fucking morons that call themselves supporters of this game.
Yeah, I was stunned watching that game. Disgusted, not surprised, considering the type of fan base that was at the heart of it, but I don't know where the league goes from here. There's a big part of me that's actually scared for the future of the A-League and football in this country. And it's not the vast majority of fan bases. Every other game that went off that weekend, the protest was exactly what it was meant to be. Walk out at 20 minutes, no more singing, put up a banner, and then get out. But these fucking morons, these fucking dead shits just can't help themselves. This disgusting fan base, this disgusting football club. It's them every time, and it's happened again, and I just don't know what the fuck we're supposed to do. They're one of the biggest clubs in the country.
I would say, possibly, supporter-wise, I think it is the biggest club in the country.
Yeah.
I think what really hurts more about this, I mean, the APL decision was pretty ordinary, and it hurt a lot of people, a lot of the teams that aren't in Sydney, but the events that transpired Saturday night during what should have been the biggest game of the weekend and the biggest reason to do the protest and show the APL what their decision has meant to those supporters has turned into the biggest self-inflicted wound upon this league.
Yeah, we were all about the fans having a voice because this decision hurt the majority of the league, and you know, both us being Sydney club fans didn't like the decision either, and you know, we've just kicked ourselves in the teeth, in the balls, in the face, all in the one moment, in what could have been a huge display of the protest and the message we wanted to send. You know, one of the biggest fan bases in the country, in their biggest derby against Melbourne City, who had a massive turnout as well. Could have been amazing to see just silence and just vacant seats at the ends of the stadiums, but no, fucking idiots act like fucking idiots and have ruined it for everybody. The smallest minority, 150 people, I think, police are interested in talking to, have ruined it for the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people who love football in this country and love the A-League. And I'm scared for the future. I don't know where we're going to go from here, all because of some dead shits from Melbourne.
Yeah, it's a bleak looking future, if I'm being completely honest, for the A-League. A league that we both love and care for and like support with our entire hearts. I have more fondness for my Western Sydney Wanderers than I do my Premier League team, because it's my team. That's what Wanderers are, my team. They play.
Yeah, you get to go to games.
Not just that, but they play locally. It's at a good time. Yeah, main thing is I get to go to games. I get to put my heart and soul singing my support behind those boys who are doing really well this year. And this league isn't what it used to be 7-8 years ago when active support was at its peak. Active support was at its peak and there was no fan violence. It was good atmospheres. 7 years later and we're almost out of a league. There's foreign investors aren't going to try and help us out of this slump because they just look at us as footballing hooligans. Exactly what Channel 9 and 2GB call us. Footballing hooligans. And that's what these fuckwits have done. They have given every bit of ammunition to the anti-football haters in this country. And now we've got no leg to stand on. The APL is never going to reverse their decision now, because it just shows that fans in Melbourne will attack players because they don't like a decision. And that's it. They've just ruined it for everyone. That one person has just ruined it for everyone.
Yeah, who's been given a life ban, we found out today, but that's not going to mean shit. Seven of the players that were on that, of the fans that were on that pitch had already had life bans, and it didn't mean shit. They were still at the stadium. So I don't know. This life ban from football is just not a good enough punishment. More needs to be done. Tom Glover's doing his job. The security guards are doing their job. The cameraman's doing his job. And all of them got assaulted and abused. Tommy got a concussion, massive laceration on the side of his fucking head. Yeah, because some fucking dickhead thinks he's bigger than the game in this country. Thinks, oh, nah, a 20-minute walkout protest isn't good enough. We're going to storm the fucking field. And I've seen the messages in the post. They planned this. There was talk about this happening before the game. It's just selfish. And it's Melbourne Victory. We shouldn't expect anything less from these fucking dead shits. Every time there's problems with football in this country, it's them. Sydney Derby, no fan violence. Channel 9 and 2GB can talk about it. All they like, there was fan violence at the game. There was none. We're both part of our active supports, and we know there was none. They've just, you know, they're right, but they've just got the wrong teams. There's only one team in this country that actively goes out looking for violence, and it's those scumbags from down south in Melbourne, and it's not Melbourne City. It's not West United. We know they don't have enough fans for that. It's fucking Melbourne. It's fucking OSM, and they ruin it for everybody like they have this week. Every fucking protest was perfect. The commentators talked about it. The silence was deafening. But these fucking idiots have to go above and beyond because they're just so precious. They're so different. They're fucking Melbourne Victory. They think they're king shits. Fuck, I hate that club with a passion. People ask me if I hate Sydney, Western Sydney, over more than Melbourne Victory. It's not even close. I hate those dead shits down south more than you guys, because at least your fan base might be a bit rowdy sometimes, but at least you do it the right way. They're just scumbags. They're pure, pure scumbags. They are the worst fan base in this country, and there's really nothing the APL is going to be able to do about it. They're not going to be able to reverse this grand final decision now. You fucking idiots from down south have completely ruined it for everybody else. All the protests, all the momentum we had is gone now because of you scumbags. And I honestly don't know what they can do about it. Life bans don't work, clearly. The MacArthur game, my girlfriend goes to that game with her daughter. She had to pour out a frozen Coke before going in there. They weren't allowed banners. They had the drum removed. They were clamping down so hard at a game where there is no active support. Let's face it, the bullpen is disgusting. They're terrible. But they were. This is what the future of football is. I'm going to go to a game on Christmas Eve, Sydney versus MacArthur. I am dreading how much police presence is going to be there in the Cove and around the game before the game because of just dickheads that have ruined it for us in Melbourne. This is the future of football now. It's going to get clamped down as bad as it was when the Wanderers first came in and the Sydney Derby became the biggest spectacle in all of Australian sports. The police presence is going to be insane. The restrictions, the amount of checking that we're going to have to do when everyone goes into a game now is ridiculous, all because of just 150 fucking dead shits. They've fucking killed football. They've killed football. They've killed passion. They've killed our game. All because they're fucking selfish cunts.
Look, I agree. Like, a lot of Sydney FC, bitter rivals, crosstown rivals, we hate them so much. Every member of the RBB hates Melbourne Victory more because they're the only, like, I can go to a Sydney FC game away in my RBB gear. I might get yelled at and held abuse at, but I won't get attacked.
Yep. That's just
That's just by Jamie, yeah. But you go down to Melbourne and no matter where any Wanderers fan was, there was five or six times more Melbourne Victory fans waiting for them outside whatever venue they were at.
Yep.
And now they've just gone and proved how stupid and fuckwit, like stupid they are and the fuckwittery they can cause, and have just pretty much put the final nail in the coffin of football in this country.
Yeah. I mean, the second biggest game in the Australian football calendar is the Big Blue between Sydney FC and Melbourne. The first one, opening Allianz, went off without a hitch. Yeah, they broke some seats because they're just scumbags, as we all knew, but it went off relatively good, no fan violence. Australia Day is probably the biggest derby that we have on our calendar. We generally take a shit ton of people down there for it. It's a massive moment for us. That's gone now. I know guys in the Cove and Sydney FC fans who aren't in the Cove who've booked tickets and flights and accommodation already for that game on Australia Day. They don't know what's going to happen now. They don't know whether or not they should cancel because there's surely no chance they're going to play that with fans. If they have fans in their ground, in their stadium for the short-term future for Melbourne Victory, it's astounding. But I don't know what we do now. So they've just killed a massive... they killed the Melbourne Derby. They ruined the game. One of the biggest games in the Australian football calendar, they've just ruined it by being assholes. But the future of the season, like, are they going to have fans? Is the next Big Blue going to go ahead? How do you, like, they play Western United on Boxing Day. It's a Western United home game. How do you keep these scumbags from going into the stadium again? Because it's the same stadium they seem to get into regardless of a life ban or not. I don't know how you police this, and I don't know who our active supports have guys who organize and run. We have a club liaison guy who's with us when we go away, when we're at home, just keeps us in check, make sure that we know that we're representing the club. You probably have the same thing, I would say. We do it a little bit better up here.
We have multiple liaisons and even our own security guard to keep us in line.
Yeah, that's, we have the same thing. But do these idiots not have that? Do they not have a top crew that are sort of behind the scenes, not so much as active as they used to be, but they sort of organize everything and keep them in check? Does Melbourne Victory not keep the worst behaved fan base in the country under check with liaison people? Because it doesn't seem it. I didn't see many of them there. Melbourne City players had to rush to the defense of the referee and Tommy Glover. I didn't see a Melbourne Victory player in sight for at least 15 seconds. And then Tony Popovich just casually walks over and Lee Broxham's trying to control them. I just don't understand how you move forward with this, with them having fans in a stadium at least for the rest of this season, because you can't. It's not safe for the players. They've proven it. You know, Tom Glover's going to be out for 3 weeks now because he has a concussion and a massive cut on the side of his head. I think it was Alex King's, the referee, got swung at and was a part of that bucket hitting Tom Glover in the head. Like, how's he supposed to referee a game down there? He's one of our best referees in the league. You can't have fans in this stadium anymore. Fines and points deductions aren't enough now. They have suspended points deductions from issues in the past because of their fans. It's not enough. You can't have fans. And I'm sorry for any actual good Melbourne Victory fans, if there are any out there. And I'm sure there are. But you can't. I just don't see a way where you can have fans in that stadium anymore when they're playing at home. And you can't have their fans traveling away anymore. I don't know how you police that, especially on Boxing Day being so close. But I just don't see how you can allow Melbourne Victory to have fans in their stadium anymore. And it's going to hurt them financially. It's going to hurt the league financially and visually on the TV. But for safety, I don't see how you can have it.
Finding the club doesn't affect those fans.
No.
Docking the club points doesn't affect those fans. It does massive repercussions to the actual club itself. But those are the two punishments they're looking at. There has to be behind closed doors. Melbourne Victory should not be allowed to have any fans in the stadium anymore. And yeah, I feel bad for the 20,000 other fans that don't sit behind in the OSM, North Terrace, whatever it wants to be. The ones that go there to watch football and cheer for their team. Not the ones creating the atmosphere, the ones living in it. And I feel sorry for them. But you've got 150 fuckwits that have just ruined it for everyone. And now, unfortunately, you're going to have to pay the price. Society can only move as fast as its slowest person. And there are some fucking slow dickheads in Melbourne Victory at the moment.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, I shouldn't, when I say these people from Melbourne, I shouldn't just say all of Melbourne, because I've been to Melbourne. I like it as a town, but this one club is the problem. Melbourne City, I have very little issues with. I think it's a great football club. It's great for this country. It brought a great derby to us. But the other side of Melbourne, the navy blue side, the terrible side, the bad side, they have just, yeah, if you're part of the good part of that fan base, you just need to look inwards and look at that active support, and you guys need to be the ones that are going to them. And I know they are, because I was on Facebook, I was on Instagram, and I was looking at the comments underneath posts from the Melbourne Victory on that day and the OSM on that day, and there are a lot of fans that are absolutely mortified, disgusted, and angry that these idiots have ruined it for everyone else in that fan base and everyone else in the country. Because it's going to be like going to a Belgrade derby now in Serbia. That's how thick the security is going to be for active supports in this country. It's going to kill us. It's completely killed us.
I literally have nothing else to say. They honestly have taken the love for my game and just ripped it from me. As soon as I was out that night, and as soon as I saw the footage, I literally just felt dead inside. First thing I did was I messaged Jamie, I messaged my brother, and I literally said, Melbourne Victory have just single-handedly killed this league.
Yeah, and you can see it from the other actives. The statement that they all released today in conjunction all together about the APL's decision for the grand final, which doesn't seem like it matters anymore, but all the actives' banners were included on there except OSM, because they can all see we were all unified last week going into last round. Now we are all unified, but we're not including Melbourne Victory. They're not a part of us. They're not a representation of active support in this country. They are something else that we don't want any part of. And yeah, and you can tell in their fan base, there were people trying to blame Tommy Glover for throwing the flare into the crowd, which was the reason for them storming the field. No, there wasn't. They were talking about it before the game. There were messages saying that 20-minute walkout isn't enough. We need to storm the field. And he didn't look directly at the guys who stormed the field. He picked it up, glanced over his shoulder, probably to see where the crew and people were, to where he could throw it. Maybe gave it a little bit more than he should have, because it did go pretty close to the crowd, if not into the crowd. But he wasn't intentionally throwing it at these assholes who ruined it for everyone else. So to see Melbourne Victory fans blaming Tom Glover for this whole thing, take a good hard look at yourself and probably just don't go to fucking football anymore, because clearly you can't handle it. Clearly you can't handle the passion of a derby. This ain't the game for you. Go support something else, because, yeah, we don't want you anymore. We, OSM Horta, we don't want you supporting our game anymore. Like, this ain't for you. This ain't for you.
I'm just going to recite my favorite line from the movie Mean Girls. You can't sit with us. You're no longer invited.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah.
Fuck off. You've ruined it.
Yeah. You're not one of us. You're not one of us.
Dead set ruined. Anyway, besides all that, Jamie Brown, how have you been? We can do the proper introductions now. This is another episode of the Circle and Rectangle Show. This was Jared and Jamie and Nuggets combined spray on the fuckwittery of Melbourne Victory supporters. But yeah, how are we? How are we, mate? Besides all the bullshit, how are we?
You know, Sydney FC lost to the Mariners, so pretty down. But
no, mate, we lost to Western United. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, you are ruining my vindication, all right?
We're making it better. Now they're almost up in the 10th.
So, yeah, I might be fucking more vindicated. Welcome. But, yeah, of course it's you guys that cost me from being right. But, you know, you are helping me a little bit by giving them a few points. Can't let them be that terrible all year. But, no, it was a good round of football. Plenty of goals, both men's and women's. But, yeah, it's going to be forever marked with that black mark. I didn't go to the MacArthur Bulls game on the Sunday, mainly because it just didn't feel right. Like, I could have gone, but it just didn't feel right. But other than that, it was a pretty good round of football. You know, we saw the Knicks got a win. Their women played pretty well, even though they lost. But Sydney FC's women had a bye, so there was no happiness for me in regards to Sydney FC. But hey, it was a good weekend, aside from that.
Yeah, it was an average weekend, because even though all those results and the rest of the football were really good, that one outlier just drags down the median of everything else. So it was an average weekend of football because of one outlying incident of fuckwittery. But in saying that, there was some football that went ahead, which means we do have some results to go through, Jamie.
The results are in.
And we're kicking off this week's results on the Friday night fixture, which saw the Newcastle Jets at home going down 1-0 to Brisbane Roar in what was Charlie Austin's last game for the club. Because he is unfortunately going back to the UK, citing family reasons, because his eldest daughter is still in the UK going through exams and all that. I cannot understand it. I kind of also feel like the rest of his family aren't really equipped to live in the sunny state of Queensland. And I think the weather may be fucking them around a little bit, but it is unfortunate because he is quite the character. He's not quite the footballer as he used to be, only netting 4 goals in his 11 appearances for the Brisbane Roar.
And a few were penalties.
I think 3 of them were, but...
Yep.
Other than that, Brisbane Roar coming away with 3 points. The goal by Milan Uzunic, well, could have been goal of the week, but the keeper saved it.
It could have. Yeah, then he quickly just tapped it in off the ground, which... You know, you got to be inventive. He's a really good player, that Milan Uzunic. And Newcastle off a big F3 derby the week before. Really probably wanted to hammer that home and get a win at home in front of their fans, but wasn't to be. Brisbane are not... Well, they're about to be worse than we thought they were, but, you know, that's a good win away for them.
It is a good win away, keeping them in the hunt for a final spot. We move on to the Saturday fixtures, which saw the Yellow Army supporting the Wellington Phoenix. A 3-1 win at home to Adelaide. But because of their protest, I don't believe any shirts were taken off.
You'd like to think that even though they were sitting on the sidelines and in other areas of the stadium, Bay 10, I think, you'd like to think they took their shirts off.
In protest, APL, you see what happens? In protest, we didn't get to see a shirtless Yellow Army. You've taken away my joy.
Probably, forget the win for Wellington Phoenix. That's probably the biggest draw watching a Knicks game is if they win, you know you're going to see hundreds of shirtless Kiwi men and occasionally women get their tops off when they're winning in the 80th minute. But no, you've robbed us of that, APL. Thank you very much.
Outrageous. Killed but no, game. It was actually really good to see the Yellow Army and the Red Army get together. So they both left the minimal Adelaide fans that went over for this fixture, but they left their active away and went and sat with the Yellow Army, and they all just sat and chat and watched football together, which is what should be. We're uniting as a front. We were united as a front.
That's what the message was supposed to be.
Rest of us are.
We still are. We just kicked someone out of the group.
They've left the chat. Good. But yeah, 3-1 win for the Wellington Phoenix over Adelaide United. We move on to smiles for me. Central Coast Mariners 2 defeating Sydney FC 1. Paolo Retre off flyer after the 11th minute, but two very, very quick goals for the Central Coast to see them walk away with all 3 points in a 2-1 win. And then we go to what should have been the biggest game of the match week, but after 21 minutes, match was postponed because of fuckwittery, and that's all you're getting to talk about it. That's it.
Yep.
That's all you get. We move on to the Sunday fixtures, which saw Western United stun Jamie Brown and also stun myself, going up 1-0 victors over my Western Sydney Wanderers. Great goal. Absolutely fantastic from Prijevic. Innovation.
Prijevic, man.
Who was marking that man?
Something else. Well, your defense is supposed to be really good, no?
I meant to, but I think they were protesting. That's what it was. They were still protesting. Yeah.
Oh, okay. They did a walkout, but they just
started early. And then the final match week of the fixture saw MacArthur 1 defeating Perth Glory 0 at a very, very lackluster Campbelltown Stadium.
I mean, do we expect anything less? But it was good to see the bullpen get in on the walkout as well.
I don't think they walked in.
Well, they kind of were. Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like they were ahead of the curve. They've been walking out all season. But it was, good to see them participating. Although, because of what happened on the Saturday, there was a lot harsher security, so no banners were allowed. Even the Perth people had banners that weren't allowed.
And
to put up.
The Perth banner, which was very, very clever, we've already played here enough.
Yeah, which is not violent. It's honestly fair. Like, they've been in Sydney in the East Coast for a whole season because of COVID, and now they're going to play a grand final that they won't make in Sydney as well. It's just, it's just funny. It's funny and it sends a message. And I think I'm pretty sure the MacArthur one wasn't even derogatory anyway. It was something about money and the APL. So all of the messages were nice messages, basically just saying the fans, saying to the APL, don't be greedy, keep the fans
similar to all the fans after the massive Super League debacle. Football without fans is nothing.
Yeah, exactly. It was very similar to those messages. And
although apparently, according to Melbourne Victory, to football them. With fans means players get concussion and so do referees. So who knows what the actual message is.
Yeah, it's a bit muddy now, isn't it? Because some fan bases seem to think they know better than the rest of us. But we try to be positive.
Do a happy dance. Do a happy dance.
MacArthur actually won that game.
It's not doing a happy
watch,
dance.
But they won it.
But we'll move on to Jamie Brown with the women's A-League fixtures, which saw some fucking cracking goals.
Some cracking goals and some big scoring games. And it kicked off with Wellington Phoenix in Sky Stadium at the after the A-League men's game, which was good to see, and the Yellow Fever and Adelaide fans stuck around for that game. But unfortunately, it was Adelaide United who got the 1-0 win, continuing to show that they are a powerhouse in the league. But credit to Wellington Phoenix, still a young team, still a team trying to gel. They played really well. Probably unlucky not to get a goal early on in that game. They had most of the running, but Adelaide United come away with a win. The next two games, which was part of the Dub Zone feature on 10 Play, was the Brisbane Roar at home to Western Sydney Wanderers. I really expected the Brisbane Roar, to get a big win here. But Western Sydney showed up with their defense, only going down 1-0, still losing, but a much better performance than we've seen in the last couple of weeks, especially since that Newcastle game that they got thrashed in. The other game kicking off at 5 o'clock was Melbourne City at home to Western United. Melbourne City, a shock loss for potential competition, front runners. They went down 3-1 to Western United. The new kids on the block, who are undefeated and top of the league after 6 weeks now, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm not 100% sure. I should have checked this. But undefeated after 5 or 6 weeks. Yeah, it's still impressive. And for a team that we didn't really expect much of, they're looking pretty good with Chloe Lazaro potentially scoring the goal of the week.
They're doing what we expected the men to do.
Well,
oh, I didn't expect the men to win, but the men to do. I expected them to do much better.
I didn't.
but one thing I would like to say about this game, you wouldn't believe it, that certain fan base that I'm now no longer naming because they've got enough attention from me this podcast, there was a few hundred of them already there hurling absolute abuse to anyone around them.
Of course. Mm. Of course. They're scum. Correct. They're pure scum. We move on to that club on the Sunday with a big 5-2 win over Newcastle, which was the 6:15 kickoff. I didn't really like how they did this. We had a 6:15 kickoff down in Melbourne and a 7 p.m. kickoff in Perth, but it was 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So you had two games going on at the same time, but staggered kickoffs. But Melbourne Victory, a 5-2 win. The worry for Melbourne Victory was their goalkeeper, Casey Dumont, came off with potential concussion after a clash where she came out to smother the ball. Pretty average goals in this game. I'll talk about it in Hot Topics, but the commentary was absolutely garbage as well. But credit to Newcastle. They had probably scored the two best goals of the game, but it wasn't enough going down 5-2. And Perth Glory at home against Canberra United, getting a 3-2 win. Two teams that, for me, are on the cusp of potentially making the finals. Canberra need to get a move on because they're losing games that they probably should be winning. But, I mean, on a Sunday where you got seven game, goals in one game and five in another, that's 12 goals over two games on a Sunday.
We like goals.
I love goals. Oh, yeah. Loving the goals. So thank you, girls, for dishing it out for us. But that was it. Sydney FC had the bye, which was disappointing because the men lost and I would like to see the women win. So, but hey, there's always next weekend there's, against the Wanderers.
There is always next weekend. But as you did say, in the women's league alone, there was 12 goals on a Sunday.
On a Sunday.
Which means there's a few goals that could be contention for goal of the week. And honourable mention number one, Milan Usic. I'm going to call it out there. Because that would have been goal of the week if he scored the original attempt over the overhead kick. However, he kicked it straight at Jack Duncan, who in turn parried it straight to Milan Usic, who on the ground just tapped it home. So well done on the innovation, but do it the first time when you win this award, you silly goose.
Yeah, yeah. Also, Jack Duncan not good, but...
When, any goalkeeper's good when you kick the ball at him. Why do you think I'm so good?
Well, Danny Vukovic isn't against that because the goal Sydney FC scored was pretty much he could have easily handled that or not parried it straight into the feet of the on-rushing Paolo Retre and we wouldn't have scored a goal in that game. But it's about goal of the week, not terrible saves of the week. And I got honourable mentions. It's a tough one. I don't think I discussed who I'm going to give it to this week, but I need to give an honourable mention in the women's especially to Sarah Griffith from Newcastle, as I previously said. The first goal for Newcastle was an absolute screamer. Mm-hmm. Fantastic finish from her just outside the box. And Vesna Milijevi for Canberra scored a fantastic goal from outside the box. There was no stopping that. I don't care who what goalkeeper you are. And also Chloe Legazzo, Western United. Phenomenal strike from her. Helped them get the 3-1 win over Melbourne City. But for me, there can only be one goal of the week, and it has to be the only goal Adelaide scored in that game, but Craig Goodwin's free kick on his return from the Socceroos. That's why he was there, and I don't understand why he's not in Europe. He wants to be here, which I love, but he could easily be playing in Europe because he is a phenomenal football player, and I can't give it to anyone else but that free kick.
Big fish.
We love free kicks on
the
show.
Big fish, small pond, mate, and that's the way he likes it, but that was a stunning free kick. That's why he was starting in the Socceroos, and that's why he scored against France.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, that's why he scores against the big guns. And Hugo Lloris, Ollie Sale, two really good quality goalkeepers, and he's going to score against both of them. So, but yeah, honourable mention to those three girls, but Craig Goodwin, phenomenal free kick.
Technique will win majority of the time in this, and that was beautiful technique.
Yes, especially from a free kick like that.
But we move on. We've already gone over probably the hottest topic that we will ever talk about on this show. But let's get into some other hot topics. And I'm going to kick us off with hot topic number one. The World Cup has finally come to an end with Argentina coming out 4-2 winners on penalties after 2-2 full time, 3-3 extra time over reigning champions France. Which means biggest news is the Socceroos have 100% record of getting knocked out in the round of 16. By the eventual champions who win it in penalties. That's a statistic.
Yeah, so they get that trophy in what, 06 was Italy?
Who then also beat France in penalties.
Oh yeah, they did too. God, imagine how many World Cups France could have won if that didn't happen.
French? That would have sucked. Cheese-sniffing, frog-leg-eating surrenderers.
And not to mention, the only two teams that beat them in the World Cup were the two finalists. So, huge effort from their soccerists.
We played four games. We won two and lost two. But those two losses were the eventual champions and reigning champions who they met in the finals. That's an outstanding achievement, which is the reason why, mate, we're in the top 30.
For the first time in over 10 years,
massive.
Socceroos are in the top 30 in world football. 27th, 11 spots up after that World Cup. 11th place finish at the World Cup, which was even more impressive, just considering what people expected of them going into the tournament, to not score a goal.
We were bottom of the group, no points, or maybe 1 point after a nil or draw with Tunisia. We were going out without scoring a goal, getting 1 point, bundled out in the group stage, and we fucking came second in the group, equal on points with eventual finalist France.
Yeah. And realistically had a real good chance at not only drawing the game against Argentina towards the end, but getting the winner as well with Garin Kuol with that shot after Aziz Bayich has missed. So took it to the eventual world champions. And I mean, that's a huge effort for Graham Arnold and his Socceroos. Amazing performance. All that amazing work done at the World Cup by the Socceroos has been undone since, but we'll try and keep it positive to finish the show. But unbelievable work. That's exactly what football in this country needed.
At the time, that's exactly what we needed. Now we just need...
Yeah, it's exactly what we needed.
Heads of the league and some supporters to fuck off and we'll be all right.
Can we run back this World Cup?
Start again now.
Get us all back
friendly again and not dickheads. But
because the Women's World Cup is too far away.
I tell you what, there is a lot of hype for this Women's World Cup and starting here, I'm so excited for the Women's World Cup. But one thing that has really surprised me, L'Equipe, the prestigious French sporting magazine that runs a little competition every year called the Ballon d'Or. I think you may have heard of it. It's all right, somewhat award.
Oh, it's that thing that they keep screwing that Sam thing, Kerr out of, right?
They've done themselves a dirty here. They've finally given an award to an Australian, Graham Arnold, named coach of the tournament.
I mean, tactically, what more does he need to do?
He fucking beat Tunisia. He beat Denmark, who were everyone's dark horse, and took it to the eventual champions, almost making genius substitutions to bring on Garin Kuol, who almost sealed the game with literally the last kick of the game. And the only... And just it's amazing. And the fact that I think the reason why he also got the award is we were the lowest ranked team to make it out of a group. We shouldn't have made it out of our group. But
not according to the experts.
Everyone but us. Fucking who knew?
Well
done, Graham Arnold. I honestly still don't like your style of play. and I would love to see someone else give it a go, but I can say wholeheartedly I respect what the man has done, and it's a fantastic achievement. Doesn't mean I like it, but he's done well.
Considering going into the World Cup, everyone was hating on him because we barely scraped through. We had a draw against Saudi Arabia when we could have qualified, and we barely got into it. No one expected us to do much. I think if he re-signed tomorrow, and you put up a poll if that was a right decision from the FFA, I think it would be above 50% that would say, yes, it was the right decision. Might be recency bias.
I think so, but I would be voting no. But that's my opinion, and I'm allowed to have it.
I have other reasons why I'll be voting no, and it has nothing to do with the Socceroos.
It's because you want him back.
But I want him back desperately. I need him back. Come home, please.
But
it's okay. He's
the one thing that surprised me, Morocco's coach voted number 3. Japan coming in 2nd.
Yeah.
They also knocked out fucking Germany and almost knocked out Spain. They beat them both.
Yeah, but the Morocco one's the more of a stunner for me.
He's had the job 8 months.
I mean, that's the first African nation. Yeah, first African nation to make the semifinals, which I thought was amazing. First African nation to make the quarterfinals.
Ghana made the quarterfinals. The they would have been the first African nation. But
when you look at that Ivory Coast team from like the mid 2000s, like 2010 areas, like how did they not get any further? But hey, huge effort. To me to get to a semifinal with a team like that, who similarly to the Socceroos wasn't expected to do much. They were kind of expected to get out of the group, but not really. And to get third.
Would you expect them to get out of a group that had perennial dark horses Belgium, ranked number 2 in the world, and Croatia, the last to the runners-up in the last World Cup. Would you really expect Morocco to make it out?
No, but there was that. You know, there's been whispers about Belgium for a while now that they're probably not as good as they should be. And I really thought Croatia would be terrible this World Cup. I thought their golden generation was old. And
that's exactly what Belgium did. The golden generation of Belgian football has achieved absolutely nothing.
Nothing, just like the Socceroos in England.
Yeah, nothing.
But hey, at least we got out of the group.
100%. What does that feel like, Italy? Oh wait, you weren't even there.
Oh, never heard anything about them at this World Cup, right? Like, not even people putting shit on them for not being
bunch
there.
Bunch of fucking idiots. Silly goose.
Not my country. No. Not my country missing out on World Cups twice.
Don't know what that's like.
Ignore the years between 74
wasn't
and
wasn't alive, so it doesn't matter.
Just don't need to think about that. Nah, yep, I was young. I was only 16. It's irrelevant. But, great effort, Graham.
Well done to you, sir.
And I think at the moment it is a vacant job because his contract expired after the World Cup. So I think, actually, deep down, I don't think they will re-sign him.
I think what I think will happen, I actually think they will offer him the job and I think he will turn it down.
Not a bad shout. He was very stressed through that qualification campaign. So, and I really don't think he could do much better than what he did at that World Cup. He's probably not going to win the Asian Cup and do what Ange did. It is probably the peak of his Socceroos coaching career, so maybe it is a good time to step down.
Mate, there is no shame going out on a win.
Going out as a L'Equipe coach of the tournament winner. So
it's very prestigious. As I said, they do the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah, so he gets to put that on his mantelpiece. It'll be forever in the Socceroos history as a coach. When you look at his name as you go down the list of historical managers, it's going to be there.
Right up to, I reckon that's next to Rail Rasic, who got us to our very first World Cup.
Yeah, that's a huge achievement.
Massive. And then obviously Gus Hiddink getting us to our first knockout stages, winning our first ever World Cup game, scoring our first ever goal. But Graham Arnold winning two matches and keeping two clean sheets at a World Cup.
And only getting knocked out by, well, I mean, other Australian managers have done that, but, you know, getting knocked out by the eventual champions and the GOAT, Leo Messi, who scored in that game.
So, I mean, the GOAT debate's done, but we're not an international footballing podcast, so that's fine by me. One thing I don't think we actually ever spoke about, which was pretty big news before the World Cup even started, Patrick Kisnorbo, first ever Australian manager in a top five league, had his first game last week in a trial match with former club Leicester.
Yeah, I think they got the win, did they not? 2-1? Nil or draw. Okay.
So unless I think you are an American, so technically USA beats England 0-0. What a time. Do you know the funniest part? I want to bring that. I know this is going off on a tangent, but something that really tickled my fancy when I saw it the other day. Someone put up that thing about US football and then like they beat England 1-1 again. And like obviously as a meme, going back to that newspaper article, which is funny as fuck. But the amount of people that didn't get the joke, that went through saying, "How is that a win? 1-1 is a draw. Like that's not a win. Stupid Americans. Blah blah blah." I'm like, get cultured.
Yeah, those planes were flying well. 100% people's heads, weren't they? I always love seeing people when jokes like that happen, and you know, you pick up on it right away, and you go straight to the comment section because you know it's going to be a good time, and it always is. It always is. Oh, it's a draw, not a win. Oh, fuck, people are stupid. How do people in this day and age not get satire and sarcasm?
How is it, like, generation that grew up on Family Guy and South Park so sensitive and stupid?
Oh my, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable the sensitivity that's coming through this next generation. Oh boy. This isn't a lifestyle podcast.
But I'll tell you what, once the A-League goes under, I think we might have to be a lifestyle podcast.
Yeah. In 2 weeks when the A-League's dead, we just switch it up there. We'll change the name and
the circling rectangle goes to the glass half full. What is this?
Yeah. The glass half empty will be a pessimistic podcast. But yeah, oh my God. Oh, but overall, how would you rate the World Cup?
See, this is a tough question for me because fan-wise and all their shit that went wrong kind of thing, like behind the scenes kind of stuff, the Qatari side of it, I think was abysmal. Well, not really abysmal. I think it's probably just me being biased because it should have been in Australia.
Should have been here, yep.
But overall, like, the footballing side and the final, hard to argue, that's probably the best World Cup of all time. Just in the footballing side. The amount of upsets.
Yeah.
How the big names bundled out. Germany, Belgium out, Italy not being there. Stars like Morocco making the semi-final and almost, like, getting done by France. England being classic England, bundling out. Socceroos going further than anyone expected. Brazil getting bundled out by Croatia.
Asia stepping up. Like that, the AFC stepped up. I think we had three people through to the round of 16, so that was awesome. But
Round of 16, Japan, Korea, and Australia all got knocked out in the round of 16 by Argentina.
Yeah, so that's incredible.
Croatia in penalties, Japan, unfortunate, and Brazil thumping Korea, but Korea didn't back down. Brazil were just way too strong.
They took it to
Croatia getting Brazil done in the footballing side, best World Cup I've ever seen. That final was unbelievable.
I mean, it had everything. It had a Messi goal. It had a Kylian Mbappe, who everyone thinks is the world's best player right now, scoring a hat-trick. It had a penalty shootout finish. It had the GOAT lifting the trophy. I agree. On the pitch, it was, probably the best World Cup I can remember in a long time. And, you know, you'd have to say it was pretty good for football. Take everything away from anything off the pitch away from it. And, I mean, putting Messi in that stupid
That kind of annoyed
Qatari
me. But
dress thing, that pissed me off a lot, but... Hey, to see Emi Martinez do what he did with that trophy was hilarious. So,
I've said this
on the pitch stuff.
In other group chats, as much as Emi Martinez is probably the best goalkeeper in the world right now at penalties themselves, God, that bloke is an absolute dickhead wanker. I cannot stand
him. He does not read a room. He cannot read a room to save his life.
I cannot stand him. I think he's an absolute tosser. But by God, is he good at goalkeeping.
Just his penalty record before the shootout... against Harry Kane, they were talking about it. He was like 30% chance of saving it. And then he conceded that one against Harry Kane. But then he's technically, it goes down as a save for the next one. So his save percentage is incredible with a penalty shootout, which is amazing. Because 20 years ago, a penalty shootout was a guaranteed
Emi Martinez never played Harry Kane in this World Cup, you silly goose. That was Hugo Lloris.
I'm thinking of another goalkeeper. Hugo Lloris, sorry.
Plays with Harry Kane at Tottenham. You goose.
Yeah, that's why he knew him. So my bad.
But Emi Martinez...
I blocked it out of my mind.
But even in saying that, Messi scored 7 goals, got 3 assists in this World Cup. He missed 2 penalties.
Yeah. Not a great World Cup for penalties.
There was a lot of saves.
A lot of good... Like, even the Croatia goalkeeper, he was phenomenal at penalty shootouts. Like, he's the reason why they beat Brazil.
What about Morocco against... who got knocked out by Spain? Who knocked Spain out?
Was that not Morocco?
No, because they played... No, it wasn't.
Croatia knocked out Brazil. Was that Japan in the round of 32?
Japan fucking were out ages ago.
Not in the round of 32, but because Spain was knocked out
I apologize. It was Morocco. I was thinking Japan beat Spain in the group. Morocco beat them in penalties where their goalkeeper made 3 saves.
And Hakimi did the
Ramos celebration.
Yeah.
Good banter.
Hilarious. And it was the coolest penalty you could ever see at that stage of a World Cup.
But you had
score it and you go through.
Cristiano Ronaldo dropped and his replacement score a hat-trick in his first ever World Cup start against Switzerland and they beat him 6-1.
Yep.
And then they get knocked out by Morocco.
It was a World Cup that ended the GOAT debate, which I still think is up in the air, but it gave a great moment for a final. It had amazing upsets. It had incredible underdog stories. It was great. And what made it even better was Italy wasn't there. So it's just a happy time for everybody. The only thing that would have made it better is if the world's best striker was there, but Norway needs to sort their shit out.
I was going to say Zlatan was there.
Yeah, but as a fan.
Doesn't matter, Zlatan was there. Yeah, honestly, footballing-wise, it has to go down as probably the best World Cup there has ever been. And the last of the 32-team format. We will be moving on to the 48-team in the next World Cup, 2026, which is USA, Canada, Mexico, which the Circle and Rectangle Show will be at. Don't you fucking worry.
Absolutely. We will be doing some live shows from that World Cup, and I cannot fucking wait. It's going to be amazing. might be in different sides of the country as you follow the Socceroos around and I'm following the England fans, but who knows how it'll work
out.
Let's just
go remote. To Canada.
I think both countries will probably go there, right? Just purely based on the Commonwealth sort of thing. Be perfect. Go to Toronto, Vancouver,
somewhere like that. I think what it is, 48 teams. I don't think they've worked out the group stage yet. It was going to be 16 groups of three with the top two from each group making it out, but that would make a lot of dead rubbers in a third game.
Yeah. that's fucking
which
crazy.
Would mean, yeah, the top two teams from each group go through, which make it a round of 32 knockout into a round of 16, quarterfinal, semifinal, final. I believe Europe is only getting two extra sides at this World Cup. Asia are getting three
they already
sides.
Get a lot.
With a,
makes it easier for the Socceroos.
For the first time ever, Oceania get a guaranteed spot with a
New Zealand.
With a possible second place via the playoffs. And Africa get another three spots.
Which I believe
also an extra one possible with through a playoff.
And so surely South America will
get
an extra spot as well.
I think they get a guaranteed two extra with the playoff.
And then there's that playoff thing. Yep, which will probably be the Oceania.
Correct, Oceania.
One.
And then North America get an extra with the three host nations are guaranteed, which is ridiculous. But I believe they get an extra two spots with a possible, I think it's Africa versus CONCACAF for a playoff and South America, Commonwealth versus Oceania in a playoff.
So we don't have to worry about that bullshit.
I believe it's eight guaranteed spots for Asia.
Oh, that's got to be soccer is guaranteed, mate. It's got to be. But it doesn't matter. We're going to be there anyway. And I cannot wait. 4 years away. Way less than 3.5 years realistically now. So cannot wait for that. Cannot wait.
But there is one World Cup that's coming up even sooner. The Women's World Cup. Get behind it. On our shores in 2020.
Yes. Absolutely. Sell out those tickets. They're releasing more in March, I believe, or it might be actually April 11th. As soon as that drops, make sure every one of these games, even if it doesn't feature Australia, make sure they're a sellout because, I mean, look at the domestic league here, the women's league. They score goals. It's amazing football. It's fun. Get around it. Buy tickets. Doesn't matter who you're going to watch. Just get out and watch football. You're going to see goals. I'll personally guarantee you will see goals.
The one thing the women's game has is not fan violence. Get around it. Get your families to there. Now, there is a possibility that the Matildas' first game could be moved because Melbourne themselves facing big backlash. Big backlash.
It's also, I mean, I don't like Stadium Australia, as they call it, a core stadium as it is, but it will mean an extra 40,000 people can go see this game, and that game is a sellout already, I'm pretty sure, well, with the first allocation anyway, so... It's probably a good move. And to see the Matildas play in front of 80,000 people will be incredible. That will, all of the eyes of the world of football will be on that match because it will be a huge crowd. And it'll break records in Australia, that's for sure. But it could be close to record-breaking worldwide.
Do New Zealand get the first game because they're 3 hours ahead of us or 2 hours at the time? So do they get the first kickoff?
I mean, you would think so, right?
But get behind it.
They get like the 5 p.m. on a Friday night. Yeah, absolutely. Buy your tickets. Go onto FIFA, search Women's World Cup 2023, and just get on the waiting list. I'm on the waiting list for tickets for the next release, but it's going to be hot. There's going to be a lot of tickets. There's not going to be a lot of tickets left. So if you're expecting to just walk up on a game day and get a ticket, yeah, you're not going to be in luck, buddy. Get around it. Get around the Tillies. This is a real chance they could win the World Cup on Australian soil. They are a fantastic team, and that amazing manager that we have never said a negative word against has them clicking.
In
so
Gus,
get around
we
it.
Trust.
And Gus,
I always
trust
someone
never
named
said a bad
Gus.
Word about him.
Gus Hiddink.
Yep.
Tony Gustafsson.
Tony Gustafsson.
never
hated that.
Never once.
That man is a saint.
Never once said a bad
you
word.
You will not be able to. Absolutely, if you're new to this show, do not go back and listen to our shows for the downloads, but to find us saying bad words about Tony.
Because you won't find any.
Because you
will
not
find
them.
A single one.
I will cut that audio out.
Not a single one.
But yeah, get around it.
What else has happened in the world of football, Jamie?
We got our usual fun segment, bashing MacArthur.
I mean, we didn't have to bash him this week. The police did it for us.
yeah, they held them down. But just the bullpen, as we've always said. I'm trying not to go hard in on MacArthur as a team because I want their players. I want Daniel Arzani. There is an option for us to get their players on our show. But the bullpen, did not release a statement before the weekend going into this week about the APL decision. It's almost like they wanted the grand final in Sydney. Maybe they're not with the rest of us, but, you know, they shared the post that we all shared today about the combined effort and the combined message from all the active supports, except for that one down south. Just funny that the only message they did share was in their private Facebook group that I have access to through some really good friends. And it's good to support us, but maybe you should make that public so that the other fan bases can see that you're supporting us, because to do it in your private group that has about 100 people, that's not a good look.
How does the private group have 100 people, but the bullpen have 10?
Don't ask me these tough questions, all right? Because I have no fucking idea. It's got 711 members, Jesus, which is even more incredible. That should be the biggest active support in the country. Where are you people? But yeah, didn't put a public message out, put it behind closed doors, which I have screenshots of. Disappointing, but
you should make those screenshots public, mate. That's what you should do.
I can absolutely do that.
You may never get a single one again, but let's just... For the band.
Yeah, he may not give them to me anymore, but, you know, usually he posted, oh, you should talk about this on the show, the bullpen's doing this, and it never happens. So we don't talk about it except in a bashing fashion. But, yeah, it's always fun to poke fun at MacArthur. They play terrible. Dwight York is a terrible.
I'll tell you what, the one thing we can't poke fun of them for this week is they know how to win a game.
Yep. And they're going to win next week because they play Sydney FC at Allianz and just...
No, you know, home team has ever won that inconvenience.
Games. Yeah. So we're losing that game. So maybe I won't go off on Christmas Eve and go to watch that one. I'll go to the women's game.
And then protest and walk out. Yeah,
I'll do my own protest. Walk out. protest the fact that we're going to lose the game. So
we got anything else, Jamie Brown?
Yeah, just if you guys haven't listened, go watch the highlights of the Melbourne Victory women against Newcastle. Whoever that commentator was utter garbage. He had no emotion, no excitement. It's like he didn't want to be there. You're commentating football, literally my dream fucking job. Show some goddamn emotion. There were 7 goals in this game, and I don't think he was excited about any of them. I'm sure he's a rugby league fan. He has to be. Like, that was his boring. Like, he just... Watch the mini-match, watch the highlights if you want to be bored. Turn it on mute if you get bored after 30 seconds, because he just had no emotion that entire game. And for me, if we really care about women's football in this country, put some goddamn good commentators on there. There are a few that I've heard that are phenomenal. A few of the women commentators. I can't remember his name right now, but he's on the Dub Zone a lot. But he's phenomenal. I can't remember his name for the life. I wish I could, because he's actually one of the better commentators of men and women. But this guy had no interest in being there. Why are we doing this? Don't just give anyone a chance. Give the Sutherland ground announcer here at Sutherland Sharks Football Club. Give him the chance. At least he shows emotion even when we're getting beat 4-5-0. But yeah, if you haven't, I mean, I would say do yourself a favor and don't listen to it. But just to see what I mean, 7 goals in a game. You know how excited I would be after the 3rd goal and then the 4th goal? It just was like he didn't want to be there, Spurs. So sort your shit out.
This is where all our fans get in. Petition, get the Circle and Rectangle to commentate a Women's A-League game.
Maybe we should start that hashtag. CNR to commentary. I think we would do a phenomenal... You'd be the color guy, the main guy, and I'd be the guy getting excited.
This would be the old dodgeball commentary pair.
Yeah. I'd be Jason Bateman.
No, I am definitely Jason Bateman. I have absolutely no idea what's going on.
I have to be the misogynist guy. Fuck.
Yeah, no, you'd be Cotton. You are definitely a Cotton.
But... I think we should start doing it. I think we should do the first ever MacArthur Bulls women's game next season. Bashes all the time, but I hope your women's team goes well. We should be doing that game.
I reckon we should. I'm not going to because I fucking hate them, but I think we should.
We'll do the next Sydney Derby. That's not at Allianz because they probably...
When is the next Sydney Derby?
Well, the next one is this Saturday night, but the next away one, I believe, is next year. I think it's in March.
Maybe.
So we got
I think we're done here, Jamie Brown.
Yeah, those are all my hot topics.
Have yourself a very Merry Christmas. But Jamie Brown, Circle and Rectangle Show is going to look very different for the upcoming weeks.
I'm
leaving my baby, the show, in your very, very, very uncapable hands. Because I will be
bold move
away for at least the next 3-4 weeks, possibly.
So 3 shows for that, Jared. You heard that right. Just me.
No, I think 4 shows without me.
Four?
Possibly five. I lied. Maybe, depending.
Maybe this is the time I bring all the players that I talk to.
Yeah, maybe.
Onto the show to co-host
so
with me.
Follow up. First.
Alex Hill, if you're listening.
This is Nick Montgomery on the host.
Casey, Michael Roos.
Casey DeMont.
Favorite of the show. We'll see how she's feeling after the weekend.
Get her on. If she's concussed, she'd be fucking a perfect fill-in for me.
Fantastic. She'd be perfect to talk about what's going on down there. So, maybe I'll see what I can do. I'll carry on. The show will go on. It will hopefully not be me by myself because nobody needs that. But the show will carry on, even if it's your brother filling in, pretending to be you. Just way less funnier.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
It will go on. Oh, yeah, it's a fact. It's why you're on the show and not him.
It's because I know how to turn a computer on. But anyway, dunce. Jamie Brown, have yourself a very good Christmas and New Year. Keep this show running.
Too,
make
man.
It as popular as ever. Mate, the ratings may even go up without me. And I hope they do.
I mean, it's not a negative, right? As long as they stick around when you come back.
If they do, good on them. If they don't, well, clearly I am the issue. And I'll see what OSM should have done, and I'll see myself out.
Yeah, exactly. You will go out 20-minute protest.
Mate, you're lucky. I was going to protest the show. I was going to walk out after 20 minutes, but then I would have left you.
I fully expected your brother to storm in that back door just as a joke.
Throw a bucket at my head? I'd say yes, but because I'm sitting in front of a computer and I didn't want him to damage the computer.
That would be a proper walkout if that happened. There'd be some...
That's a fucking pitch invasion and a half if that happened. But look, as I said, have yourselves a very happy New Year, a very Merry Christmas. I'll be back, I think, just before the Australia Day fixture. I think that'll be my next show.
If it goes ahead.
If it goes ahead.
Good week to come
back. I'll be back. Back stronger. Back very hungover.
Back stronger, yeah.
All right. Take care, Jamie Brown.
Take care, buddy.
Thanks for tuning in for this week's episode of the Circle and Rectangle Show. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. We love hearing from you guys, so please hit us up on our socials, the Circle and Rectangle Show, on both Facebook and Instagram. Drop us an email, cinrshow@gmail.com, or @cinrshow on both TikTok and Twitter. We'll see you all next week.